using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's the 14th of May, year of our Lord, 2021, America held hostage now for 426 days. Today we're going to have as our guest in the second hour, Eric Peters. We're going to talk about the gas shortage, a preview of life without cars. Do you really want to go down this Green New Deal highway? And, of course, we're going to talk about the latest pronouncement from the Führer, Biden, about masks and vaccines. Folks, if you don't understand where we're headed with this, if you don't understand these QR codes are now being put on homes in Australia. Yes, geospatial intelligence always has been about this. Some people call it the social credit scores. I want to extend a special welcome to any lurkers and haters out there who push back against me when I push back against Herr Biden and his dictates, the dictates of the Führer. Let me say this just before I begin. I have never in my life, and I've seen a lot of bad politicians, a lot of evil men, but I've never seen a politician who openly brags about how much he hates the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. That's what he did with the Clarence Thomas hearings. The left was very furious with him. They wanted him to push this narrative that Clarence Thomas had made some inappropriate remarks. And because of inappropriate remarks, he needed to be canceled. But Biden didn't really care about that. That would be kind of throwing stones in a glass house, I imagine, for Joe Biden. No, he was furious about the idea of natural rights, the idea this country was founded upon. The foundation of the Declaration of Independence, the foundation of the Constitution. And Biden has spent his entire career openly opposing any individual liberty in the Constitution, openly opposing it. Most people will do lip service. Well, you know, I really like this. And then they'll turn around and stab you in the back. But he openly opposes it. And that's exactly what he did yesterday. You know, first, we had the CDC lifting indoor and outdoor mask mandates for those who are fully vaccinated. I mean, it was just 2 weeks ago that they put out all this stuff, right? And now, poof, just like magic. Abracadabra, wave the magic regulations or wave them goodbye, whatever. Does this give you a clue? All you people who think that this is for real, that don't understand what this really is, this is really not about the health agenda. Unbelievable. Even Noah Trevor. So the reason that this happened, and the reason it happened this quickly, they said it was Walensky, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, who is now the Biden head of the CDC. She said, this is an exciting and a powerful moment. Oh, it makes her powerful, doesn't it? Because she's the one who can tell you when you can put a mask on your face and when you can take it off, because you don't have that power anymore. She's taken it from you. Where did she get the power to even have the CDC? Where is that in the Constitution? I've looked, but I can't find it. I do find something in the Ninth and Tenth Amendment that says unless the particular powers are given expressly and particularly to the federal government, they don't have it. Those powers and rights are retained by the states and by the people. I have retained rights to say what health care I'm going to give to myself. I never see that in the Constitution where that was surrendered to the federal government, let alone a quasi-private organization like the Federal Reserve or the CDC has become. But she says, this is an exciting and powerful moment. We have a growing understanding of this. Wait a minute. They were just telling us the science was settled, and now she's got a growing understanding? Well, I'd like to see the new study that they did the last 2 weeks to say this is okay now. You know what they've been studying? They've been studying all the people on the left who are getting a Fauci on the early morning talk shows or the late night comedian propagandists. Who say, like Noah Trevor, This really doesn't make any sense. This makes no sense at all. For a year, they've been telling me that I can't have any treatment except a vaccine, and I gotta be locked down until the vaccine gets here. Now I get the vaccine and they don't believe that it works. Should I believe that it works? No, you shouldn't believe it works. Should take it. She defined fully vaccinated as a person who is 2 weeks past their second mRNA Moderna or Pfizer shot. She didn't mention Johnson & Johnson, I guess. Anyway, so now we have some, every day they're adding something new to the dictionary. We just had yesterday added new to the dictionary a new definition of anti-vaxxer. That in and of itself was a pretty new word for Webster. And they just added a new one, you know, so they added a new wrinkle, a new definition for it. They said, well, an anti-vaxxer is not somebody who's just merely opposed to vaccines in general, but anybody who's opposed to a vaccine mandate. If you're opposed to a vaccine mandate, even if you support vaccines in general, but you're opposed to a vaccine mandate, you are an anti-vaxxer now, according to Webster's. And now we have a new definition of what a fully vaccinated person is. You're not fully vaccinated. You're not a real citizen. You're untouchable. You are a lower caste. As a matter of fact, you're probably below the untouchables of India if you don't have all of your Moderna and Pfizer shots. We've been sold out to the big pharmaceutical people. You understand? To the globalists who are running this thing, this UN 2030 agenda. The same agenda. Just insert a different crisis because the people are so stupid they never looked for the data for the climate change. So now they're stupid. They didn't care about the data. We could just make this stuff up even after we got caught writing emails to each other back in 2009. ClimateGate. Hey, the data doesn't match what we're doing. Well, it's okay. We'll cover it up somehow. Show me your data, we said. We sued them. Could not get the courts to release that data, even though it was done at a public university on taxpayer money. Research had been published. Public policy had been crafted, but we're not allowed to see the data. Isn't that amazing how much that's like what we're seeing now? Walensky sent a warning to the unvaccinated people, however, saying they should continue to mask and social distance. I will. I'll continue. I promise, Dr. Walensky, that I will mask and social distance like I have been for the last year. None at all. None at all. I'm not your slave. I could put it a different way if I wanted to be a little bit more impolite, and I'm very tempted to use that word. You remain at risk of mild or severe illness or death, she said. Somebody sent me one of my programs from back early March. And I didn't listen to it this morning. My wife was listening to it some. And I was saying at the time, there's going to be more people who are bankrupted from this than die from the coronavirus. I still stand by that. I don't believe the numbers. And I believe that even if we got an honest accounting of those two things, I think there wouldn't be anything close to it. Just like I was saying, you got more people killed in Israel from the Netanyahu's Pfizer vaccine program than from anything else. I mean, he could launch the missiles directly at the Israeli settlements and he wouldn't kill as many people as he has with his vaccine. So Biden says, the rule is simple. The new rule is simple, he tweeted out, at the POTUS account. And I replied to him. I said, at POTUS, or is that now POS? Because that's what you are. The new rule is simple. Get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do. The choice is yours. What a cynical thing to call that a choice. Not a choice, it's a coercion. That's what these people do. Play word games. Those who are fully vaccinated will be able to combat pro-mask Karens by officially easing indoor mask wearing guidance just 2 weeks after they said the exact opposite. Again, where is your new study to change? You said you just, your understandings are evolving. Well, where's the study? They're studying the reactions to the nonsense. Folks, that's really a hopeful sign for us, really. If we would rise up, if we would call Bolshevik on this, because it's just pure Bolshevik. If we would call this the Bolshevik lie that it is, if we would stand up and refuse to do this, if we would stand up and say, wait a minute, why for the last year did you keep cheap, effective medications from us? At the very least, these people are culpable in the deaths that they claim that happened from this virus because they allowed people to get very sick before they gave them their ineffective treatments. But if we rise up and push back against this, they will pull back. But there's even more ways that we can stop this, and I'll tell you about it. But first, as one person said, and I think this was a good comment, I retweeted it, commented on Biden saying, the rule is now simple. The choice is yours. You get vaccinated. You stay masked forever, you untouchable, non-essential, deplorable, despicable people out there. One person said, well, this is actually an amazing statement. I do hope he sticks with this message, as it is such an incredible government overreach that it may be the tremendous wake-up call that is needed for so many. I said, as one person said, thank you, Joe. But until I know who has or hasn't been vaxxed, I will continue to wear my mask, if for no other reason than to try and shame someone who walked around me without one and isn't vaxxed. And I said, well, good luck with that, because I've always been maskless and shameless. And that really set them off. They didn't like that. So I hope some of you people are watching the program. You probably already turned me off by now. But this is very key, because one person said, I am fully vaccinated, but I will continue to wear my mask because there are so many people who are not vaccinated. And so I just spelled it out for him in a simple syllogism. I said, if your seatbelt doesn't work, my seatbelt won't protect you. If your helmet doesn't work, my helmet won't protect you. Therefore, if your mask and vaccines don't protect you, my mask and vaccines won't protect you either. They could not understand that. They really could not understand that. One person says, David, you seem confused. Masks catch particles that carry the virus. Without it, your spit can carry up to 6 feet away from you. Have you really, and what was the science that you saw about that, about 6 feet exactly, 6 feet? As they pointed out, many virologists who maybe know more than you do, Tom Lower, a lot of virologists said it's like, I just reported this yesterday, it's like Fauci just pulled that out of his posterior. Where did this 6 foot magic number come from, right? That isn't 6 feet, number one. Number two, maybe you're not aware of several research studies that were done last year. Duke had one in August, but let's forget that. Let's go back to before this became a political issue. In 2002, Tom, I know you're not a listener, maybe you're listening now. 2002 in Australia, they said, you know, we got a lot of doctors and nurses who, when they're doing operations, are not wearing masks. And so we asked them about that, and we started doing some tests because a lot of them said, well, I don't think it's effective. That was 2002, before it became a political issue, of course. And so they said, so we did some tests, and we found out that even the best masks, the N95 and better, they would get saturated with spit. After 20 minutes, they were useless, because what would happen at that point, Tom, is, and I've pointed this out to my listeners in the past, I'll point it out to you later today on Twitter, but maybe what I'll do is just cut this out. We'll cut out this video, Travis, and I'll make a video response to Tom. But let me be concise about this. 2002, in Australia, they did a study of doctors and nurses because they didn't want to wear these masks. They found that after 20 minutes, the N95 mask would get so saturated with spit that they were useless. Why? Because the pressure, the air pressure, then pushes that out. And guess what it does, Tom? It makes it go farther, and it makes it stay airborne longer. Why? Because there's smaller particles broken up by that N95 mask that you think is going to protect your life. One person says, well, it's worthless responding to these fools on Twitter. Twitter keeps shadow banning comments. I responded to this person an hour earlier to the same comment, and it won't even display, with almost 200 replies. See, they can't handle the truth. And it's one of the reasons why people like Tom are so uninformed. He's misinformed and uninformed. because Twitter and Google and CNN and Fox are trying to keep that information from you. They don't want you to see that. They don't want you to think. Critical thinking is dangerous to these people. They've said it many, many times. They actually say they don't want you thinking critically. They said these people are digging down in the data. They're looking at past studies. We got to get those things memory-holed, said the researchers at MIT. They're looking at these studies, and they're saying the science is not settled, and now the CDC has just said the science isn't settled. They're always getting new understanding. Just 2 weeks ago, they were telling us exactly the opposite about masks and vaccines that they're telling us now. So yeah, a dictator is somebody who presumes that what he speaks is law. Biden is a dictator. He is a dictator. He thinks that because he got new rule, here's my new rule. I say this, you do it. Right? Yeah. My choice is informed consent. My choice is no vaccine. My choice is to take the mask off and never put it on. One individual says, they're rapidly building a digital electronic prison for us all. This is exactly it. This is Legal Man is his handle. U.S. Law Review. They're rapidly building a digital electronic prison for us all. Time is running out to stop it. You either understand this or you don't. If you're still arguing inside the red versus blue political charade, Trump versus Biden, Trump could have saved us if they didn't steal the election. They're still down there pouring through the ballots. Can you believe that? I look at that and it's like, what is the matter with these people? Even if you had Trump in, he did nothing except to help the other side. So if you're still inside that red versus blue political charade, then you clearly don't understand the real threat and the real problem. And let me tell you what the real threat and the real problem is. The word that shall not be used by anybody. Nobody uses this word. And it's one of the, it's the fastest, not one of, it is the fastest growing area of surveillance since just before 2000. It's where James Clapper lived his career, grew up there. It's called geospatial intelligence. As soon as the internet became effective, they started funding it from the venture capital funds of the CIA. They actually openly did it. They created a venture capital firm called InQtel. And then you had the NSA and other intelligence agencies putting their people on the venture capital boards. But the real purpose of all this was geospatial intelligence, to map the human domain. Human domain analytics. You remember that Jade Helm, the subtext of that was mastering the human domain? The Jade Helm really wasn't a kinetic exercise. Jade Helm, by the way, and of course, you know, they used InfoWars to put this out. Jade Helm was to see who would push back against something like that. And we should have reported it. I mean, it was something that was happening, and people should be concerned about that. But they knew that we would report it loud and strong at the time, and we did. But I think they pulled back. You didn't see the kinetic exercise happen. Whether that was pressure from some local officials and sheriffs, good sheriffs, who said, you're not doing that here. Whether that was the case or not, or whether they just wanted to float this out there and to see who was going to oppose it. The whole purpose of mastering the human domain, of human domain analytics, of anticipatory intelligence, of geospatial intelligence, is to map their opponents. McRaven was saying at the time, he was saying, you know, we forget that special forces really were not about kinetic exercises. It really wasn't about jumping out of planes and shooting people and things like that. It was really more about intelligence and psychology from the very beginning. And we need to get back to that, he said at the time. And so what they would typically do, and he was talking in these, I guess you could call them trade shows or whatever, where they, you know, they have a seminar or they speak to their other buddies and the bureaucracy at the Pentagon. Typically, these videos don't get more than 200 or 300 views over 5 or 6 years. But if you can stay awake watching them, that's why they're like watching paint dry. But there's some amazing stuff in there. The best thing to do is to download it, get a transcript, because it is hard to watch these things. But what they were saying was that when they began, you know, what the special forces would typically do, they would go into an area, they would put out some information, and they would see how the local officials reacted to that information. It would be politicized. Where do you intend to do this or that? And they could tell who their friends and enemies were going to be based on their reaction. They would map them out. So they're just trying to do that in a more high-tech, scientific way. So how does this work out? You know, you have to track all your people. We've seen this on a very simple basis in China, the social credit system. And as I pointed out yesterday, for several months, they have been putting out QR codes on buildings, on commercial buildings in Australia. And they wanted people to check in their location so they could report to the government where they were, and the government could record that and then go back, they said, to do contact tracing on you. And a lot of people were not doing it. As a matter of fact, most of the people were not doing it. It was in, depending on the types of businesses, it would be anywhere from a third to a quarter of the people would do it, but two-thirds to three-quarters would not. And so they came up with a story to scare everybody. Not that anybody even got sick. Nobody died. But they found somebody who tested positive who they didn't have the information about it. They went to some restaurant and they asked the guy, they said, your records show that this many people checked in. How many people were here? Well, I don't know, maybe about 30. Well, that's not what shows on the records. And so on the basis of that, they escalated the fines to it was about $1,200 US. If they catch you once, if they see that you're not enforcing this for them, if the business is not acting as their enforcer, they'll hit you with over $7,000 U.S. fine. And now they're extending it to the homes, to the homes. I reported that yesterday, and now, a day later, we find a new report out of Australia. Multiple Victorian residents seemingly required to display QR code outside of their home. See, this is geospatial intelligence. This is your digital prison that is now being set up. You will report to them. You're under house arrest. You will report to them everything that you do, everywhere that you go. And as the person who sent this to me said, I can't believe people are not understanding that this is going to be applied to your vaccine status is not going to be applied to this. Right? Of course it will. He understands that. Any thinking person does. The stringent regulation, writes 9news.com in Australia, the stringent regulation appears to require residents living in units, flats, townhouses, and residential apartment buildings to have a QR code system on their home so that all visitors, including family, friends, and tradespeople, can check in on arrival. The strange rule has left some residents dumbfounded and out of pocket after they were forced to pay for the QR code. Resident Lisa Ross told 3AW's Neil Mitchell that she was made to put up a QR code at the front door of her freestanding home in Melbourne. Ms. Ross, who lives in a Sunbury unit, said she did not even share a common driveway with her neighbors, let alone communal spaces and facilities. The system meant that anyone who came to visit her had to check in, including family. I'm actually a freestanding driveway in a freestanding house, she said. In other words, I'm not like a complex here. Why should I have to put this out? This is an individual single-family home. And you're telling me now I've got to get a QR code? She says, I have to have my family check in as well? I stuck my QR code at the front door. I don't want to get a fine from the government. So let me tell you something. This is not a mistake. This is not, they are going around and threatening people. And this is what the regulation says. It says, quote, as they put this out, according to the Coronavirus Victoria website, their COVID safe plan requires owners of corporations to keep records of those visiting a site for the purposes of contact tracing. But it goes on to say, this includes visitors to private residences within the site or trades and service providers working within private residences or common areas. So she's arguing, well, does it, I don't I'm not part of a complex here. This is a standalone home, but they're threatening me with this, and I'm afraid of the fine, so I'm going to put it up. Whether or not this thing is the regulation right now or not is not the point. The point is, they should not be requiring anybody to do this. You don't quibble over whether or not the regulation applies to you. You quibble over the massive power grab. You quibble over the digital prison that's being established. You quibble over the geospatial intelligence, the Chinese social credit system, if you will. But geospatial intelligence is much bigger than the Chinese social credit system. It is a tool for political control of dissidents, which, again, the Chinese social credit system is, but it is far broader than that. So this person says, well, I wouldn't have thought that it would apply to residences, but technically it does. It means as many as 700,000 or more Victorian residences could be required to have a QR code. Oh, my. Can't they just, am I really falling under this rule? Am I really following under the rule of Biden? Do I have to do what he has to say? According to the Associated Press, going back to Biden, the new guidance from our new dictators, the CDC, I mean, these people have said you're not going to have cruise ships, period. But even more importantly, they came out and said if somebody is behind in their rent under Trump, this happened last fall. Somebody gets behind in their rent, you're not going to evict them. If they get behind in their mortgage, you're not going to foreclose on them. We don't want homeless people. Homeless people are super spreaders, are they really? I haven't seen any homeless people disappear. Same ones out there trying to squeegee my window when I drive around every day, not wearing masks. The new guidance will still call for wearing masks in crowded indoor settings like buses, planes, hospitals, prisons, and homeless shelters. See, your vaccine doesn't work. But it could ease restrictions for reopening workplaces and schools. It will also no longer recommend that fully vaccinated people wear masks outdoors in crowds. Oh, isn't that nice? So, as Zero Hedge points out, so you can lose the mask if you're going to work or school, but you'll still need to wear one if you're around other people indoors, which apparently doesn't apply to workplaces or schools. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? I mean, when they were talking about outdoor regulations, what was the science for that, as I point out? None. So Biden says the choice is yours. Yes, the choice is yours. He's all right about that. The choice is yours. You can live as a slave or not. You can allow this guy and you can allow the CDC to assume all kinds of broad powers. You know, even when they were there, they've lost five times in court, one of them at the appellate level. But they continue to push the idea that they can make rules about foreclosures and evictions, about cruise ships and everything else. And the Biden administration is standing with them. Elizabeth Warren's Consumer Financial Protection Board, which is anything but, they're standing with the CDC. So the choice is yours. Will you live as a slave? The rule is now simple. Biden's rules are for simpletons who don't understand the digital prison that's being set up here. They don't understand the precedent that's being set up here. They just follow a president because of a political party. And I would say the same thing is true of all these people out there still worried about the Trump election. Move on. He didn't care about your life for a year. For over 300 days, he didn't care about you. He didn't care about your business. He didn't care about your freedom. He didn't care about the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. All he cared about was channeling obscene amounts of money to big pharmaceutical companies because he thought it was in his political best interest. You need to move on from grifters like that. You need to move on from the grifters who support him in the media who tell you that this is, if we could just get Trump back, oh, everything would be fixed. The people who want to distract you from this global tyranny by getting you out there trying to look for bamboo shoots and ballot boxes or whatever. The choice is yours. Yeah, we've done away with that. It's very simple now. The rule is very simple. We've done away with that complicated thing called the Constitution and that complicated, troublesome Bill of Rights. So it's real simple now. You just do what I say. The rule is now simple, says Biden. The choice is yours. These guys get more cynical, more criminal every day. Every day. We've had practically a non-existent flu season this year. This is Fauci on NBC. Yeah, practically non-existent flu season. Well, I agree with that. You know why? Because they relabeled it. But he goes on to say, merely because people were doing all the kinds of public health things that we told them to do, right? No, that's not why. That's your interpretation of the data. You're lying to people. This guy is one master prevaricator. So this one person says, please explain to me how wearing a cloth mask, a cloth face covering to prevent the spread of disease infringes any rights outlined in the Constitution. Well, if I wasn't a libertarian, if I was a pragmatist like Scott Adams, who says that I'm a psychopath because I look at individual liberty issues first. So let's go to the pragmatic aspects first of this. So you explain to me how wearing a cloth face mask does anything. Face covering. Cloth face covering does nothing. Nothing. It's not an N95 mask even. You look at somebody blowing smoke through an N95 mask, or as I said, after 20 minutes, it gets so saturated with moisture. This is the same troll. I hope Tom is watching, but I'll send him a special video just for him today on Twitter. Maybe I'm limited to 2 minutes. I don't know if that's his attention span limit or not. Maybe he can hang in there for 2 minutes. I don't know. We'll see. I said, look, making health demands of me is violating my most fundamental rights. My body is my own. Where all these people out there supporting abortion, we don't ever hear that from them, do we? Yeah, pro-choice people? No. The only choice is to kill your child. But the rest of this, what kind of health care you get for your child, what kind of education you get for your child, whether or not you and your child take a vaccine, no, that's not your choice. Oh, but it is, says Biden. We're going to be pro-choice about this. You will either live in a prison or you'll do this. You feeling lucky, punk? Sounds like Dirty Harry, doesn't he? But explain to me, I said, how the cloth works. You're just accepting it on blind, ignorant faith. It's nothing but superstition. Now, here's one of the ways that we stop this, just besides the civil disobedience en masse. And that's really the key. It has to be civil disobedience en masse. Mass, mask, disobedience. DeSantis is going to pardon Floridians who are charged with breaking the mask mandates. And these are two Floridians who have a gym. Mike and Jillian Carnevale refuse to enforce local mask mandates at their gym. Let's give them a shout out. Fitness 1440. I don't know what town this is in, but folks, if you're in, I would buy a membership there, even though I don't go to the gym. Just to support them. So they were set up for a trial on May the 18th. Mike Carnevale said, now they're looking to take this a step further. They want to put us in jail, and we're not going to back down to this. We have an attorney that's going to fight this to the very end. I'll be fighting this until the very end. I won't be backing down. That's where we stand, and that's the way you stop this. One person at a time. And Governor DeSantis has said that he's going to these people who were arrested multiple times, and they're trying to now put them in jail. He stepped in to sign a reprieve that will delay the case for 60 days. He wishes to address the outstanding infractions for things like masks and social distancing. He said they should be advisory. They should not be punitive. So perhaps Governor DeSantis can give Biden and these local bureaucrats a good jab of nullification, according to the 10th Amendment, right? We have the 10th Amendment. We should all be doing this. All these governors should be telling this dictator Biden to go pound sand. And South Carolina governor is doing that. This is Governor Henry McMaster of South Carolina. You know, he never imposed a mask mandate, unlike Abbott here. And I tell you, Abbott has done a lot of psychological damage to people. A lot of psychological damage. They are still scared to death. He got them accustomed to wearing masks by mandating it for 9 months. And then he says, all right, It's not going to be a state law, but of course, you know, businesses can continue to do that. Local jurisdictions can continue to do that. I'm not going to tell you what to do. Well, you just told us what to do for 9 months. So why don't you get these people off of our back if you're for real? Of course, he isn't for real. He spent $300 million at the beginning of all of this for contact tracing. This is before the mask, before vaccines, any of this stuff. He immediately jumps in at $300 million, and Republicans and Democrats are scratching their head, saying, who is this company? Why is he spending this kind of money? Where did he get this kind of money? Well, he got it from Trump. Trump gave people all kinds of money with that executive order declaring a national state of emergency on Friday the 13th, 426 days ago. And, you know, you have governors just paying off their crony friends or engaging in all kinds of crimes and corruption, like Abbott did with that contact tracing company. But no, he's in it for the long term, folks. That mask mandate that Abbott put in, that was psychological. And it did its job. Did its job. People in Texas are scared to death. The small town outside Austin that I live in, small business owners are the worst now. So Governor Henry McMaster, who never imposed a mask mandate, unlike Greg Abbott, signed an executive order on Tuesday banning vaccine passports and prohibiting local officials and school districts from issuing mask mandates. McMaster's order also allows parents to opt out of mandatory masking for their children at school. And so this is one of the ways that you can stop it down. Another way that you can shut this down, and I reported this on Twitter, one woman said, my child has never worn a mask at school, never will. Somebody said, how'd you do that? She said, well, I confronted the school officials, and I said, where's the research that shows the health effects on young children to make them wear masks 8 hours a day? And they said, well, we don't have that research. She said, my son will not be wearing a mask. And he hasn't. And so he gets all these kids saying, you know, what? You're not wearing a mask. That's not fair. Yeah, one time, I'll never forget, one time took my kids to a Burger King when they were young, and they were playing in the playground. And it was a kid started playing with them, and they're talking. And the kid says, do you go to such and such a school? Same one that I'm going to? Because they were on some kind of a rotation thing or something. Year-round school. So they had, you know, do you go to the year-round school? This one or another one like that? They said, no, we're homeschooled. You're homeschooled? He says, that's not fair. That's not fair. I thought he was going to cry. You mean you get to do this at any time? It was like, well, we don't do this every day. But yeah, they could do this anytime they want to, anytime I want them to. That's the whole thing about the masks, you know. That's not fair. You mean your mom asked them where their data is, and she called out the emperor for not having any clothes, and they let you alone? That's not fair, but that's the way you can do it. You don't have to wait for a governor. You don't have to wait. You don't have to have a DeSantis. It's good to have somebody like that who's going to be on your side. And I don't know if this McMaster rule, again, the problem with all these rules that say you're not going to have a vaccine mandate, again, just like we have here in Texas, it's a head fake. It's a head fake. They can virtue signal to their base and say, hey, we shut down the vaccine mandates. They're no different from Biden. Biden doesn't want to do this by law. He doesn't want the due process challenge. Neither does Greg Abbott. And so what Greg Abbott can do is say, we're not going to do the vaccine mandate. But, of course, just like the mask mandates, that can be imposed by all the different businesses and everything else. The legislature took it a little bit further. Legislature said that if you do business with the state, you're not going to do that. So that means that a lot of these hospitals that were mandating it for their staff are not going to be able to mandate it. However, there is an escape clause for all these people. As soon as the FDA rubber stamps this and says it's now approved, it's no longer emergency use authorization, all of those regulations go away. And at that point, they can mandate it for you according to the law that's there, unless they pass something new. The CDC's mandate that children as young as 2 years old must wear face masks is among the most stringent face mask age requirements in the world, said a group of 36 U.S. senators and congressmen as they wrote to the CDC last month. For example, in Switzerland, children under the age of 12 do not have to wear a mask. In the U.K. and France, children under the age of 11 are exempt. But we've seen over and over again kids at the age of two who have autism or some other condition, which they probably got from vaccines, and the whole family being thrown off. Even this last week, there was a child who had a condition, and they wrote right at that level, 2 years old, and the parents wrote to the airline, Southwest, and said, our child has a little bit of difficulty wearing masks sometimes. I just wanted to see if this is going to be an issue. Said, no, it's okay. But then that was given to the pilot, and even though this child had not removed the mask, had obediently worn the mask the entire time, the pilot threw the family off the plane. Well, I'm just not comfortable with that. You see the psychological aspects of this? That's what I'm seeing here in Texas. And so this article from Babylon Bee. Nation wishes somebody had warned them about the dangers of unchecked government power. And you see this picture here of Ron Paul smiling. Why didn't anybody warn us? One person says, how did it ever come to this? Without even one person warning us about what would happen. It's like our government officials just did whatever they felt like doing, no regard to the Constitution. Now we're in a big mess. Nobody even bothered to warn us? Is that another one? If someone had run for office warning about these things, I would have definitely voted for that guy, even if he wasn't the most charismatic or smooth-talking of the bunch. We just needed an honest guy to come around, like a sweet grandpa. I don't know. Maybe if this honest grandpa tried to explain basic economics, obscure monetary policy in the Constitution, and if we all voted for him, maybe we'd all be better off right now. How crazy that in a country as big as ours, no one like that ever ran for office. And as we saw when he ran in 2012 and many other times, nobody cared, did they? Eric Clapton said, I should never have gone near the needle. He wrote this to America's frontline doctors. Now, Eric Clapton, I was really surprised to see this because Eric Clapton had been with Van Morrison. The two of them had been writing anti-lockdown songs, and you know they were not happy with what was happening. And in spite of all that, he got suckered into taking the vaccine, and he had some severe reactions. Listen to his story. It's absolutely amazing. He says, I'm an old-timer. I've survived with great help, addiction, and alcoholism, and I stand now at the greatest dilemma of my life. I have inwardly stood against our elected leaders and since Brexit, intuitively doubting their integrity and character. With the arrival of C-19, COVID, I had hoped that Hennigan Gupta would lead the way, but when Imperial College stepped in with their jailer's key, I knew we were in deep trouble. I'm a man of faith, albeit abstract, and what I felt and saw unfold in March of 2020 began to lead me away from government rhetoric and the devotion of the general public to the Prime Minister and his cronies. I looked for heroes in the House, and I found C. Walker and Desmond Swain and the unfortunate retirement of Lord Sumption. He's the former Supreme Court Justice in the UK who has been very eloquent in speaking out about the erasure of all civil liberties for this. Anyway, he goes, then I was directed to Van Morrison, and that's when I found my voice. And even though I was singing his words, they echoed in my heart. I recorded Stand and Deliver in 2020, and was immediately regaled with contempt and scorn. In February this year, before I learned about the nature of the vaccines, and being 76 and having emphysema, I was at the avant-garde. I took the first jab of AstraZeneca. Straight away, had severe reactions, which lasted for 10 days. I recovered eventually and was told it would be 12 weeks before the second one. But then about 6 weeks later, I was offered and took the second AstraZeneca shot. And I was like, what? Fool me once. Shame on you. How does the rest of that go? I mean, I feel sorry for him. I feel sorry for all the people who have been lied to and gaslighted about this. But, yeah, I'm surprised that he took the first one. But again, you know, he says, well, I'm 76 with emphysema. He's not doing his research. He's listening to the media mostly. And then even after he had severe reactions to that first one, he took the second one. He said, I had a little bit more knowledge of the dangers. Needless to say, the reactions were disastrous. My hands and feet were either frozen, numb, or burning. And they were pretty much useless for 2 weeks. I feared I would never play again. He said, I suffer from peripheral neuropathy, and should never have gone near the needle. But the propaganda said the vaccine was safe for everyone. Then I met a member of the group, this group, this is the frontline, America's frontline doctors, who counseled me to be careful and to have a look at what goes on with you guys. I felt like I'd been lifted, that I was no longer alone, that it was okay, in fact, essential, to hold on to my intuition and to follow my heart. And so they put out a new song, Van Morrison has anyway, The Rebels. Lyrics, where have all the rebels gone? Hiding behind their computer screens, where's the spirit, where's the soul, where have all the rebels gone? Exactly. He says, Eric Clapton said, I've been a rebel all my life against tyranny and arrogant authority, which is what we have now. But I also crave fellowship, compassion, and love. And I find that here. We need to start to rebuild our society, folks. And no one better than the doctors who from the very beginning said we have treatments for this. They were ignored by Trump. They were brushed aside by Trump. He never even paid attention to them, didn't focus on them whatsoever. You know why? You know who he's with. Real Time with Bill Maurer. Canceled this week. He's fully vaccinated, but he has to get PCR tests. And after he got vaccinated, guess what? He tested positive. He's asymptomatic. I'm glad to say he's not sick from this. And I hope that Eric Clapton doesn't have any longer-term effects from this. I looked at this. I've seen this happen over and over again. Even Bill Maurer has said in the past, the flu shots are nonsense. And he laid it out exactly what a rational person would say objecting to flu shots. First of all, they don't know which strain of the flu it's going to be. It's a crapshoot. They have no idea. They're constantly changing. So it doesn't going to address what you're going to be exposed to, number one. Number two, he pointed out, people always get sick after they get the flu shot. And so he gets the COVID shot, and he gets tested positive. He's not sick, but he gets a positive test. Same game. It was always run the same way as this game is being run by Fauci, by the CDC. Inflating the numbers, telling people at health sites, we don't have the tests. We can't do all these tests. So just do a clinical diagnosis. If it looks like the flu, it is the flu, right? And pumping their numbers up and then trying to scare people. But now they're not trying to get you to make the choice. They're not trying to gaslight you about that. They're gaslighting you about other stuff and forcing you to get that. And, I frequently agree with Bill Maurer on some things, and I frequently disagree with him on many, many others. But I always enjoy him, even when I disagree with him. Even when he is absolutely wrong, he can still be funny. I can handle it. I can handle disagreeing with somebody. Again, this is yet another example of people being blown up by their own bomb, hoisted by their own petard. Then we have the celebrity formerly known as Prince, Harry, who is coming after Joe Rogan. And he tells him, you got to be careful about what comes out of your mouth. Who are you? Who are you? Hey, Harry, we stopped listening to you people in 1776. Shut up and go home. This is not your home. You don't embrace our values. And it's amazing to me to see somebody like Harry, celebrity formerly known as Prince. It's amazing to me that all of these leftists who are on and on and on about white privilege this and white privilege that, this is the most privileged white person on earth. And he's loved by the woke mob in Hollywood. Think about that. He is the very embodiment of white privilege. And he's out there still barking orders as if he had something to say about this. Yeah. He says he's moving to the U.S. to break the cycle of family pain and suffering. Well, we kicked you out of the U.S., you and your family, to break the cycle of pain and suffering in our country. That's why you're not here. And we're going to have to kick out people, would-be authoritarian rulers like Biden and the rest of this crowd and the mob that supports them, the loyalists who support them. The good news is, as Chris Minahan of Information Liberation points out, mass vaccination sites are sitting empty throughout America. Most of the rubes who believe the press have already gotten their shots. And so now what they're trying to do, this is why they're rolling it out to ever younger people, because big pharmaceutical companies are hungry for more money. And yet, the good news is, as they drop this to the 12 to 15-year-olds, there's no takers on this much. So empty pictures of giant basketball courts that you can't play basketball on anymore, but you can go get your genetic code injection. Interest in taking Big Pharma's mRNA therapy, quote-unquote, vaccines has dried up. Alex Berenson says, great to see this so empty, this big gymnasium. Another person says, wow, it's really sad someone would put their child's health on the line. Getting one of these injections for which no long-term safety data is available. They didn't even pretend. The risk of an adverse event for people in their mid-20s and unders is essentially zero. Why would you risk a vaccine? Same thing that Joe Rogan is saying. Joe Rogan should never have apologized or kowtowed to any of these people in any way, shape, or form. He was absolutely right when he said it the first time. It's just common sense. You don't have to apologize for common sense. And in the District of Columbia, one person says, hey, D.C., the convention center vaccination site is near empty. Walk-ins are allowed. I was in and out in 30 minutes. Go. Yeah. Same thing in Salisbury, Maryland, in Orlando, in Rockland County, New York. Everybody is tweeting about how empty it is. One person is very upset about this, said, well, you know, they've got 3,000 Johnson & Johnson vaccines a day that we were doing, and at least 2,000 first-dose Pfizer vaccines a day. But please share this with people on Twitter. It is so depressing to see the dire situation in India. But here we are begging people to get a flu shot, or get the COVID shot, right? Well, let me tell you, as I pointed out, it's dire because of the vaccine shot that they're rolling out in India. And we showed you the charts. We showed you it's even clearer in Mongolia, but it's very clear in India. In India, they had a little bit of a bump up, and then they started taking ivermectin, and then went all the way down the bottom. Places where they had the fewest COVID deaths, essentially zero, they were giving out ivermectin for free. And then it stayed at zero until they were pressured by the pharmaceutical companies and the globalists to start the vaccine program. And when they did that, it shot through the ceiling, unlike anything they'd seen the entire last year. Same thing in Mongolia. It was zero deaths per million in Mongolia. They brought in the vaccines, and it just went straight up, a spike. You could call it a coronavirus spike, but it's the vaccine. It's the vaccine spike. So we have Governor Mike DeWine, a Republican who has betrayed us on all of this issue in terms of lockdowns, civil liberties, vaccines, all of it. Now, Republican Governor Mike DeWine of Ohio has decided since nobody is showing up to take their vaccines, he's going to do something about it. And so he has said they're going to have a lottery, and they will give away for 5 weeks. Each week, they will pick a new winner, and you could win $1 million. So they're going to give away $1 million a week to some lucky, should I say lucky, sucker who gets a vaccine. What about all you suckers who already took your vaccines? Oh, that's right. You were the low-hanging fruit. Now we got to entice people a little bit more, right? All you suckers who lined up for this stuff, you don't even get this lottery, but you're entered into a lottery, whether you know it or not. You're playing Russian roulette. So, yeah, you feeling lucky, punk? This is a lottery for people who think they always can win. That's the way these things always work, right? People who go to Trump casinos or the Vegas casinos or play the lottery, they think that statistical averages don't apply to them, right? So there you go. You can beat the odds. You can get a shot, not die, not have a life-changing condition immediately, or one that's going to happen, I don't know, 2 years down the road, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. Maybe you'll be lucky. You know, it does happen sometimes. So what are the odds? Anybody know? Anybody done any tests? Anybody run this out? Some people say, where in the world did Ohio get the kind of money to throw that out? You know, $1 million check every week for 5 weeks? We're borrowing money from China. We're giving it to the states. The states are doling it out, $1 million a week. Like I said yesterday. Actually, I think I said that on the radio show after this. I said, look at Newsom. He's running in this recall election. He's running against the clown and freak show circus that has become the GOP. you got a circus clown, a guy named Cox, who is going around with a circus bear. And he was absolutely shellacked by Newsom last time. So he's got a new plan this time. He's going to tour the state with a bear, an actual real live bear. So that's the circus side. Then you got Bruce Jenner, the freak show side, who is not Cox, has no Cox. And he is going to be running as well. And so Newsom is telling people, well, you know, we had a $55 billion deficit a year ago. This year, we got a $75 billion surplus. See what a genius I am? You know where he got that money? Newsom got that money from Trump. Same way that DeWine is going to spend $1 million a week to entice people to get shots. Handing out scholarships to the children who will put their lives and their futures at risk with this untested experimental vaccine that already we have seen over the last 31 years. 46% of the people who have died from these vaccines in just the last 4 months. About half of the people in the last 31 years of data, just from these last vaccines in 4 months. And 18% of all the hundreds of thousands of injuries in just the last 4 months from these vaccines. So yeah, you feeling lucky? Feeling lucky? How about that? Yeah, and why wouldn't we have somebody like Trump, a casino mogul, who would bring this to us? Take a quick break. We'll be right back. The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project, to make sure the commoners own nothing, and the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. thedavidknightshow.com. We've got on the line with us, and I've been talking to him, Eric Peters, epautos.com. I love to have Eric on, and we've been talking a very long time about what is going to happen to cars, and we're seeing this rolling out, but we were talking as I got Eric on the line. He said, so you saw this dictate from give us your take on this. I've been talking about this for the last hour. So before we get into cars and what's happening with the rest of this agenda and the gasoline shortage that's hitting the area where you live, before we get into that, tell us what you think about this dictate.
Well, I'm just shocked. I'm so surprised that such a thing might happen. When you have to laugh, you almost want to cry. But here we are. You and I have been talking about this for more than a year, and of course it was coming. The face burkas, the face diapers, whatever you want to call them, or about habituating the populace and about browbeating the populace and getting them to the point where they would bend knee to the holy needle. Of course, a lot of people, despite all that pressure, still don't want to accept the holy needle. So now for them, it will be a form of health apartheid going forward.
Oh yeah,
we're going to be the new, you know, blacks use the side door if we're allowed to get in the door at all. Mm-hmm. You must wear a face burqa in perpetuity, and that's probably only going to be the beginning of it.
Oh yeah, oh absolutely, yeah. You said call it a face diaper, whatever you want to call it. I've been calling it a Fauci,
and I'm
an anti-Fauciist.
Yes.
Yeah,
well, we're a heretic, and I think it's very. I think it's very well met to put this into religious terms, because, as you and I have talked about previously, that's what we're dealing with here. It's a kind of religious mania, being presented in the form of some kind of a health issue, which, of course, it's not.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I'm getting a lot of trolls and lurkers coming after me because I put comments on directly on Biden's tweet. So I got all these mm-hmm. people who support Biden coming back, and typically they wouldn't see anything. Even the people who are subscribed to me typically don't see my tweets. So yep. But they did see that tweet because mm-hmm. Twitter didn't hide it. So they're coming back to me and they're saying, well, what way does putting a mask, having you wear a cloth mask on your face, how does that impinge on your freedom? It's like, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. You don't understand that? Well, of course you don't, because mm-hmm. you don't understand that a cloth mask doesn't do anything. As we've always pointed out, it's just a placeholder for obedience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they don't seem to appreciate the degradation aspect of this, the way it's setting people apart and getting
right.
them to visually, with an actual article of clothing, to manifest their agreement with something that's despicable. And the thing that's despicable is this idea that we're all essentially suppurating lepers, radiating disease, and we have to look upon each other with great mistrust and not touch one another, not stand close to each other, not do business with each other. And this is an extraordinarily poisonous thing. It's the sort of thing that has happened in the past in places like Germany and in Cambodia. And God help us if it happens to us here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, Eric, I didn't get to it because I spent so much time on vaccines. But I want you to hear this. I'm going to play a little bit of this report. This is coming out of India. And they've got people in India. We want to talk about religious beliefs. These are Hindus. And these people believe that they can smear liquefied cow dung and urine over themselves to boost their immune system.
Oh my
and I have
God.
To say, why is that any different than thinking that a filthy rag over your face is going to boost your immune system? Here's this little bit of this clip here.
Men in Western India are smearing
them doing
cow
it, which is
dung all over their arms,
glad you're on radio
head,
here.
And entire bodies.
Yeah, I am. That's not a visual. I
mean. In Hinduism, the cow is a sacred symbol of life and earth. And for centuries, Hindus have used cow dung to clean their homes and for prayer rituals. In
there
the
you
state
go.
Of Gujarat,
see, and as I go on in the story, they say that even doctors come here. Their belief is that the therapy improves their immunity. So, why should we argue with the doctors? You know, there are, by the way, they point out in that story, Eric, that there are doctors who have a different opinion who somehow think that rubbing cow dung and urine on your body is does not help your immune system. But, which ones are you going to believe, right?
Well, it comes down to that's the right word. That's just the word. It's belief.
Yeah.
We now live in the post-fact era. You remember when Francis Fukuyama back in the 90s said that we've reached the end of history?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've reached the end of reason and facts. It's
yes.
no longer persuasive. You can tell people, well, look, here is a fact. They don't care because they're motivated by their belief, and their belief has become kind of this rabid, hystericized thing. The only analog for which in modern times, it's not even in modern times, I think you have to go back to Salem and the witch hunts. You have to go back to medieval Europe and the Inquisition to find anything that's comparable to what we're dealing with now.
Well, I really think it goes back, the penultimate cause of all this goes back about 50 years to Michel Foucault, right? A French pedophile, right? And he put out postmodernism. If you got postmodernism, you don't have any argument. It's just whatever I think you've got to do that. I mean, there is the only absolute truth is that there is no absolute truth. And that's how we got here. That's how we got with all this stuff.
I think it's very worth pointing out with regard to Foucault that he has been exposed post facto, now that it doesn't matter, as a pederast.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. And, and that's really where they're going with all this stuff. You look at that with the transgender stuff, and I've said many times, I think that's the ultimate agenda. Because if a child who is 6 years old can make permanent changes to their body way before puberty about sex, if they can make that kind of sexual decision, gender decision, then, of course, they can consent to have sex because that's not nearly as permanent as what you're giving them permission to do.
Sure. It's horrible. And also, philosophically, we're talking about the fungibility of facts, this denial, for example, of the fact that there are two sexes. I despise that word gender.
Yeah.
There are male and female sexes. You're one or the other thing unless you are a hermaphrodite, a birth defect, somebody
mm-hmm.
who has had the misfortune of having some kind of something go wrong in utero. You may put on a dress, but that does not make you female. You are what you are according to your chromosomes, and that's reality. And if people's feelings are hurt by that, well, that's too bad. I'm not out to get anybody or make fun of anybody who has what is the term, dysmorphia issues, And if a man wants to wear a dress and walk around calling himself Susan, that's okay. I'm not going to bother the guy. I hope he gets therapy. But don't tell me that I have to acknowledge him as a woman.
That's
because
right.
What you're doing then is telling me that I have to pretend that reality isn't reality, that facts aren't facts, and I won't do that.
That's right. The way I put it is, like, if somebody thinks that they're Napoleon, that's fine. I'll leave them alone as long as they're not hurting anybody.
No.
But if they dress up like Napoleon and start telling me to march to their orders, I'm not doing that. And that's really where we are, these transgenders. Let's talk, though, about what's going on with gasoline in your area. You've got an article about this, but first of all, give us a report from the ground. Is there any of that juice where you can cut loose there, or what?
Unfortunately not. I managed to stock up in time before most of the local stations here ran out. And the news on the ground in Richmond, which is just up the road from me, well, about 150 miles away, is that gas now at some stations is above $7 a gallon.
Yeah,
and
I saw that.
All of this is due to a supply interruption in the major pipeline that goes from where you are out in Texas up the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a temporary physical problem. I don't know exactly what the reason is for the pipeline. You know, it's been attributed to hackers. But the thing that concerns me is that it's not going to be a temporary price spike. I think that after the supply is restored, we're going to see the prices come down, but not to where they were before. And they've already been up considerably since Joe Biden was ensconced as the leader of the country.
Yes.
A year or so ago, we were at a little over $2 a gallon, and we were on the verge of becoming a net exporter of oil. And now that whole thing is being reversed. And, you know, unleaded regular before the pipeline went was about, what, $2.50 in my area, and you know, probably it's going to be, people were predicting, and I think they're right, that leaving aside the pipeline thing, it was going to be $3 by summer. And think about the pinch that's putting on people, particularly the millions of people who have not yet recovered and may never recover from the effects of all of this weaponized hypochondria on the economy.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, when this happened and it was announced on Saturday, I tweeted out and I said, oh, okay, so you got some ransomware hackers who've managed to shut down a pipeline. But I said, they haven't nearly damaged our infrastructure as much as Biden did on the first day he shut down the Keystone pipeline. Now he's shut down other ones as well. But other things have emerged from this that are kind of interesting. Let me give you some things, because there's some new facts that came out. This came out from Bloomberg, so we can all believe it, right? What they said was that they paid the ransom to these people, and that they did it within 5 hours. Now, they've been saying all week that they had shut the pipeline down because they weren't going to pay the ransom, and now they're saying they paid it within 5 hours. They paid them $5 million. And, you know, you have two issues here. I had a cybersecurity expert on with me earlier in the week, Eric, and he was saying it didn't affect the pipeline at all. They admitted that. All it was ransomware, which in a large corporation like that, you would think that they would take the simple precautions to protect themselves against ransomware. They didn't. These people are doing it are mostly focusing also on very, very small mom-and-pop businesses who typically don't have a lot of sophistication that you would expect a large company like this to have. So that was kind of an outlier, that over 90 of these episodes where they've hacked people, this is the only really big company that they came after. The other thing that is strange is that they immediately paid them the ransom, and they've kept this thing shut down. Now, even if they were concerned about it, or even if they were having, I don't know why they didn't open it up right away, but they could have physically opened up the valves, right?
The valve.
You don't have to wait until, you don't have to be, if it's an emergency, if you're supplying 45% of the fuel for the East Coast, you would go out there and manually open up the lines, wouldn't you, unless you wanted to do something about it? And then there's a final piece of the puzzle here, Eric, and that is, a month ago, they were in deep doo-doo with the environmental people because they'd had some spills, quite a few of them. They'd had the largest spill ever in North Carolina, and it went deeper and broader than they realized. And at that point, they were telling them, you got 30 days or we're going to hit you with massive fines. And so when I reported that from the very beginning, I said, well, I wonder if they're doing this for leverage with the federal government, shutting this down and saying, hey, you miss me yet? Right. Mm-hmm. And then you look at what is happening with this after they paid this, and you look at Biden, and the question is Biden using leverage with them? I don't know who's using leverage, but this whole thing stinks to the high heavens.
Well, it does. And irrespective of the ultimate cause, whatever it turns out to be, I think this is a sampling, a prequel of what's to come, which is that they're going to use whatever method they end up using to cause gas and propane and all these other so-called fossil fuels become considerably more expensive so as to make their electrification agenda, their green agenda, seem like, wow, that's a great alternative, on the model of breaking somebody's leg and then giving them a wheelchair to move around in.
That's right. You have an article kind of along that line. Tesla and GM finally admit it, that they can't sell their electric cars. They need to have Uncle Sam buy them with the subsidies, right?
Yeah, they are both demanding that the federal kickback to the car buyer of $7,500, which went away when a manufacturer built 200,000 or more electric cars, be reinstated, because they're having trouble selling the electric cars. Elon Musk, of course, has been having problems selling carbon credits as other manufacturers have started booting up their electric car production schedules. And on the other hand, the manufacturers of these other cars are finding out they can't sell them. Nissan, for example, has had massive hemorrhaging of money because of the Leaf, which is their main mass volume electric car, and they can't give the thing away.
Yeah.
And the other manufacturers are finding this out too. So they bought into this whole agenda thinking, well, the government is going to create the market for us. It's going to impose these zero emissions electric vehicle mandates, and people will have to buy them. But right now, people don't have to buy them. The manufacturers are forced to build them, but you and I aren't yet compelled to buy them. We can just say no thanks and continue to drive what we're driving. So the nudge is going to be, let's make gas cost $8 a gallon or $10 a
That's
gallon
right.
so as to make our non-electric cars unaffordable and give us the Hobson's choice, the Sophie's choice, of not driving at all or driving the government-mandated electric car.
Kind of like the choice we get about the mask or the vaccine, right? Well, you know, hey,
exactly,
you can continue
right.
to pay, you know, $10 a gallon, or I can give you a subsidized electric car. It's your choice. But, hey, it's your choice, says Biden.
That's the way it's going to be presented, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the other thing that's difficult for them as well is that in California, they found that, in California of all places, that about one out of every five persons who bought a battery-operated electric car has now gone back to a gasoline car, and it's because of the fueling issues, right?
Because they said,
even with a 220 at my home, it takes me like 5 or 6 hours. I don't know how you even do this with a 110. And then you got long lines at all the supercharger stations at Tesla.
Yeah, people didn't realize what they were getting in for, I think. They bought the hype, they got the electric car, and then they found out that, for the most part, most home panels, most home wiring can handle at the most a 220 circuit and is not sufficient to, quote-unquote, fast charge an electric car, as at one of these superchargers where they use 400-something volts. I think it's 400-plus volts.
It's 480.
Direct, not alternating current. Yeah, 480 of direct current. That's a big load. You can't get that into a residential service without major modifications to the house.
That's right.
So now, if you want to get going in any kind of time, well, you've got to drive to wherever that supercharger is. And then you've got to hope that somebody isn't in line ahead of you, and then you basically stand around and wait. And I think even the wokest of the woke don't want to stand around for a couple of hours when they've got somewhere that they need to be.
That's right. And we've talked about this for many years. You could have, because there's other ways to do electric cars. I mean, you and I don't really care about the motor. I mean, you know, I like the sound of a V8, but, you know. But nevertheless, you know, that would be my personal choice. But, you know, people can drive whatever they wish, except that the government decides that they're going to reward one thing and punish everything else. And that even includes the hydrogen electric cars. And I think, Eric, that the whole point of all of this has been that they don't want you to get something that they could tax at the source. They want to have an excuse to track you, that you've got to have the black box that we've talked about. And it's the same thing that they're doing with a vaccine. They don't want you to have a therapeutic for any virus that's out there. You've got to take the vaccine. And now we've got to prove that you got the vaccine, which means that you got to have QR codes on all the houses in Australia, that you're going to have some kind of a vaccine passport that's going to be supported probably through a network of private companies that are going to be enforcing this because they don't want the due process challenge.
Absolutely. It's all about control, and one mechanism for controlling is to eliminate alternatives. And with regard to electric cars, like you, I don't have a problem with them at all. And I think that there is a potential market for a short hop, low speed urban electric car, which by design wouldn't even try to be a long range highway car, because that's the problem with electric cars.
That's right. And that's all they want us to have. They don't want us to have anything. And for the long range, they're going to have us going on their transportation again, which would be trains.
Yeah. But for, you know, it would be nice, I think, if a manufacturer weren't bound by all of these mandates to take advantage of the opportunity for, let's say, people who do live in the city or in the suburbs, and all they need is a little thing that will get them the 5 miles down the road to wherever their work is, and they don't really need anything more elaborate. And hey, wouldn't it be great if they could buy something like that for around $10,000 or so?
Oh yeah,
more power to them. That's great.
Well, I know down in South Carolina for a long time, you know, people in Hilton Head, the retired people, they were allowed to drive their golf carts on the regular roads, you know, and they chose to do that.
Sure. Horses for courses, you know, and again, with regard to energy, I think it would behoove us to have choices. I've got the ability to heat my house with wood. I've got the ability to heat my house with propane, and I have the ability to turn on the heat pump. So I'm never without heat because I've got alternatives.
Yep.
What the government wants is a single, solitary, centralized method for everything that you have no choice and no alternative, and which they have absolute control over.
That's right. Yeah, I was amused to see an article from Mises.org, the dystopian future in which almost no one owns a car. And it's like, yeah, who knew? You and I have been talking about this for about 7 years. We've been talking about that this is the plan. That's why this is not a surprise to us. This is all falling into the plan that they've always had.
Well, there's an aspect of this, I think, that's psychological, and it is this. I think most normal people have difficulty imagining the true scope of evil. They just, they see it and they think, no, it can't really be. No, they don't really mean that. So they want to assume that the motives are something else. But now I think the evil is manifesting in such a way that it's really getting difficult to not look it squarely in the face and say, you know what, this is pretty evil.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's never been more transparently cynical and criminal, as I've been saying, than it is right now. And you now have, and I went into in-depth on it yesterday, you have Dr. Michael Yaden, who was a former VP at Pfizer, and he for years was head of their respiratory drugs, and he's been calling this out for quite some time. But what's different is Dr. Yaden said, finally, we have to understand that, you know, we lay this out and we show that they had the information that there were therapeutics available and this and that, and all this information was sent to these people. They're not stupid. They know what's going on. And he goes, at this point, we've got to call them out for what is happening. We know this is a criminal conspiracy, says this guy who was a VP at Pfizer. And he says, let's just use the word, it's a conspiracy. And then he called it what I've been calling it. They want us to believe that it is a they're coincidence theorists. All this is just a coincidence. No, it isn't. It's corruption. And he said, people, the average person does not want to believe that these people who are in control of corporations and governments are basically evil. But he goes, take it from me. Sure. They are. Yes, human nature. He says they also don't want to believe that the technology is sufficiently advanced to do the kind of sinister things that he's warning people that are happening. That's the two things. We don't believe human nature, and we don't believe that this technology is so sophisticated. That's going to kill us. It's going to put us in a digital prison, and it's going to kill us.
That's right. And also there's another element, which is fear. I am friendly with a number of mid-level people at various car companies, engineers and so on. And off the record, you know, I don't want them to get in any kind of trouble for this, but they know perfectly well, you know, in reference to what you were talking about, that this stuff isn't going to work. And, you know, they're well aware of what it all means with regard to the electrification agenda. But they just can't do anything, because if they did anything, they'd lose their job. If they said something, they'd never get another job. So that puts them in the position of having to choose between speaking the truth, taking a stand, and possibly losing their livelihood, possibly not being able to take care of their families.
That's right. You buy everybody off. And that's what's been happening with this from the very beginning. The declaration of the national state of emergency, you know, you've got Newsom talking about his reelection campaign. He said, hey, look, a year ago, we were $55 billion in debt. Now we're $75 billion surplus. I'm a genius. No, he got a lot of money from the federal government, from Donald Trump. Donald Trump made him a genius by giving him that kind of money. Everybody's being bought off, from the governors to the hospitals to the public health officials to the corporations that are cooperating with all of this.
They're bought off, and the sad aspect to me is that they're dependent. Most Americans have a big mortgage. They've got a rent payment. They haven't got any money in the bank to speak of. They can't survive. They're facing literally living in the street and having nothing, or bending knee to all of this. And this goes for the masking. It goes for the needling. It goes for all of it. We've allowed these corporations and these centralized power structures to just assume control over our economic lives, which means they have control over our lives.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Chris Christopherson got it right when he said freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose, didn't he?
It's true. Yeah, hey. And Joel Schnitzen said the same thing, too.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on with used cars, because we see massive inflation going on everywhere. Talk about used cars and what's happening. We got an article, Blame It on the Chips.
Well, that's what it's being blamed on. Some data out the other day about April. In April, the average retail value of used cars went up 10%. That's in 1 month. And that's pretty astounding. There is no analog for that in the entire history of the car business, going all the way back to the 50s and even before that. And it's being attributed to this chip shortage, you know, which with the implication being, well, there's not enough new cars on the market, so people are buying the used cars instead. I'm not buying that. I think a lot of people have decided they do not want all of the nanny-ish, big brother-y tech and the disposability that comes with the purchase of any new car, and so they're snapping up the dwindling amount of older cars that don't have all of this electronic stuff in them in the hope that perhaps they can just make it through what's coming.
Yeah, that's as I looked at one article was saying that the manufacturers, so that they can make some cars, are saying, well, maybe we'll have a stripped down version that doesn't have so much stuff there. It's like, oh, well, if you know, I had the money, that'd be a buying opportunity, perhaps, because I don't want something that's going to counterstay. If I'm going down the road and I've got the lane keep assist on, or it turns itself on, and you have to by default, and you got to actively turn it off. If I've got some critter that comes running out of the bushes at me, and I want to be able to swerve into the other lane, it's going to countersteer on me if I don't use my turn signal.
You know, that's right.
I don't want that.
Yeah, and all of the other things. I was just test driving a new Kia Sorento, which was just redesigned, and it has the very latest of, and I'll put it in finger air quotes, advanced driving assistance technology. If the car ahead of you starts to move and you haven't moved, a little icon pops up saying, leading car is moving. I mean, I wonder how long it's going to be before a pacifier pops out from the dashboard.
Yeah, we really need to know that. And just think about how expensive all these systems are going to be to fix.
Well, impossibly expensive in some cases.
I know.
They are. I got into my article the growing trend now of putting in an entirely flat screen, all digital configurable main gauge and secondary cluster. That used to be something that you generally found only in the higher end cars. It was a gimmick to justify their higher price. But they are now putting those things into very modestly priced cars in the $20,000 or so range. And one of the many problems with those things is that they're like a cell phone. They're inherently disposable. When they break, you don't fix it. You replace it.
Yes.
And the cost to replace these things can be staggering, like, you know, several thousand dollars. And you get to the point where you're facing this choice of, do I put several thousand dollars into a car that's only worth a few thousand dollars? And the answer is no. The same logic applies when your phone stops working. What do? You throw it away and get another one. That's what they want you to do.
Yeah. Yeah. My first three or so cars didn't have air conditioning because air conditioning was an option. But I mean, even back in those days, I'm so old that carpeting was an option.
Yeah. Sure.
And I missed that,
sure,
you know, because you could pick, you had all kinds of options and you could basically custom make a car to whatever your taste and pocketbook desired.
Well, and those things were mechanical, and not only mechanical, but they were generational in that. The manufacturers would design a given system, like an engine or an AC system, and it would be in production for a long time and across many different models within that brand of vehicle, so that when something broke, finding a replacement part was no big deal, not expensive, and relatively easy. Now, these electronic components are highly individualized, highly specific to a particular car that's made for a relatively short period of time before it's fundamentally changed. So the supply chain for these parts is much less, and the interchangeability is essentially nil. So, you know, you don't have the flexibility that you had with the older cars to keep them running. They run great for a while. Once the warranty runs out, though, and you're at 7 or 8 years down the road and something goes out, then you're going to face this massive bill, and most people have absolutely no idea what they're buying into.
That's right. You know, what do you think is going to happen with this? Because as you point out in your article, if you had a 78 Chevy Camaro, almost every major functional part from any 1970 to 81 Camaro would work.
Yep.
So where are we going to head with this? I've seen an interesting thing. Mazda has, with their first generation Miata, they now have a program where basically if you got one of those first generation Miatas, you can send it back to the factory in Japan, and they'll restore it from the ground up to be like new. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be a trend that's going to be happening across the Yeah, across for some of these, do you see that happening? Maybe not the manufacturers because they got a lot of political pressure, but maybe some individuals doing that.
Oh, sure. On the refurbishing level, you know, it's one thing to have a car restored to as new. That's a fairly expensive proposition,
yeah.
And most people aren't going to be able to afford that. However, I can absolutely see a scenario where a guy sets up shop doing rebuilds.
That's right.
Your vehicle in, and they go through the drivetrain. They fix up all the functional stuff for a fraction of what it would cost you to buy the new car, probably something that you can afford to stroke a check for, unlike a new car. And then you're good to go for another 20 years.
That's right. And you know, we've seen this in a way. I know Jay Leno likes to collect classic cars. And so he gets these cars, and there's nobody making the parts for them anymore. So he got, a long time ago, you know, he had unlimited amounts of money. A long time ago, he started manufacturing, you know, computer cutting, numerical controlled machinery to manufacture his own parts. I could see that happening. For people setting that up as a business for some of the more popular models that still exist out there.
Absolutely. I do as well. Now, the potential fly in the soup is that the government will use its regulatory power to make such things illegal, both on the retail end as by prohibiting anybody from modifying or tampering with, that's probably the language that they'll use, an emissions-controlled vehicle, or by insisting that these older vehicles be brought up to current standards in order to be permissible to be used on the government's / public roads.
That's right. And it's a little bit, as you mentioned that, we've already seen something like that happen in the trucking industry, for example. There were some companies that were basically refurbishing diesel trucks, the big 18-wheelers, and they were doing a really good job of it. And even during the Trump administration, you had a move by one of these government agencies. And again, it's been several years since I talked about this, so I can't remember which one came after them, if it was the EPA or somebody like that, trying to shut that down. But it was Volvo who was lobbying them. I had Steve Malloy on at the time, and he was talking about that. But I think that will be the pattern. I think you'll have the car companies that are so much in a public-private partnership, so embedded and entrenched with the government, that they will say, hey, shut down these competitors because they're making our cars run longer, and we want to scrap these things and sell them a new one.
Yeah, they don't want alternatives.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, all of these things that we're talking about, there's a common theme. They don't want us to have the option, and that says something about the only choice they want to give us.
That's a bad
choice. If it were a good choice, it wouldn't be necessary to stifle all these alternatives because people would choose them on their own.
Yes. Yeah, you know, we're talking about, you mentioned that you have the article about General Motors and about Tesla, saying, well, you know, we've hit the wall in terms of the subsidy, so now we're not going to be able to do this profitably unless you give us another subsidy. But also, as you mentioned, Elon Musk is facing a lot of competition now from a lot of different car companies. Everybody's going over to the electrical stuff because all across Europe, they're just outright banning these cars.
That's right.
Saying, you know, by 2030 or by 2025 or whatever, you know, they're 5-10 years down the road, they're saying, we're not even going to allow people to, not going to allow you to sell this. And of course, they're going to go back and they're going to say, and now we've decided that we're not going to allow you to own these. So everybody's moving in there and they've got competition on that. So we've seen some amazing things the last few days from Elon Musk about cryptocurrency. Have you been seeing what he's doing about cryptocurrency? I mean, pumping and dumping. He dumps Bitcoin. He says, we're no longer going to take Bitcoin now in payment for Tesla, and it crashes like the entire crypto market. Then he comes out and says, and now I like Dogecoin, and so Dogecoin goes up. I mean, he's been with a word here and a word there. He's been manipulating the markets left and right in the same way that he's been manipulating the markets for cars, even more so.
Yeah, the one thing that he's absolutely superlative at is being a Carney Barker.
Yes.
You know, he's probably the greatest con man that America has seen since I don't know when. I mean, in my lifetime, you think of somebody who's been a more effective con man than this guy?
Yeah. Well, you know, Steve Jobs had, you know, what they called the, when he would do these presentations, everybody would just fawn over it. But Steve Jobs actually delivered.
Unlike
Elon Musk.
The product that people wanted.
Exactly.
The reason we don't have Blackberries anymore isn't because the government told us we had to buy iPhones. We got iPhones because the iPhone is a superior product.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he had a superior product, but he exercised that kind of fanboy thing. But Elon Musk is doing it without a product. So yeah, there's nobody like him. He's in a class by himself. One of the things that he said, Eric, was he said, well, I'm getting rid of Bitcoin because I just realized that it's using a lot of energy to mine the Bitcoins. He didn't know that beforehand? I mean, this guy who is the smartest man in the world, or one of the smartest, because, you know, we measure intelligence by the number of dollar signs and zeros in the bank account.
How about the eight-year-old kids who are grubbing for cobalt in pit mines in the Congo?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe he doesn't know about that, Eric.
Want us to know about it.
Yeah. So he says after he'd gone into Bitcoin and pumped up Bitcoin and made his money, and then he comes out with a pronouncement about that. I'm sure he sold his Bitcoin before he made that announcement that they weren't going to accept it anymore. And you had a lot of people come back and say, well, by the way, 75% of people who are mining Bitcoin are doing it with renewable energy. Did you not know that? It doesn't have anything to do with that. It has to do with the fact that he can move markets, any kind of market, up and down, especially the crypto stuff, which is a comment here or a comment there. And he's doing it.
I enjoy psychology, and I kind of enjoy practicing armchair psychology at a distance. And I look at a guy like Musk, who's worth, what, $160 billion, something like that?
I have no idea,
I ask myself, I try to imagine, okay, if I had that kind of money, what's the impetus, what's the reason for continuing to be the Shylock con man that he is? Why doesn't he, with his literally almost limitless amount of money, design an electric car on his own nickel that actually would sell, that people would want to buy without the subsidies, and show how it can be done instead of these games that he's playing with people?
Yeah, yeah. You know, he doesn't have that kind of aura surrounding him in China, and people in China are getting really angry with Tesla. There was another video just this last week. I don't know if you saw it. It was a Tesla coming in.
Yeah, the one of crashing into the semi and making spaghetti out of the driver.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that thing came in. It must have been going like 90 miles an hour or whatever. The slow-moving truck, it rammed it. And I don't know. They probably don't have the, let's see, what was the actress's name? They got decapitated. They got that.
Oh,
low...
Jane Mansfield.
Yeah, the Mansfield bar that's on the trucks, right?
Yep.
They probably don't have. They didn't have Jane Mansfield in China, so they probably don't have a Mansfield bar on the trucks there. So that was it.
Yep. And,
but they're really upset
Does
about
it tell
that.
You something?
What?
Even the Chinese are taking issue with Musk, but you know, apparently it doesn't penetrate through the skulls of the fanboys here, of course. But we're dealing with this sort of invulnerable, obtuse, emoting adulation of unreality, just like with the face mask. You know, put two face masks on, drive a Tesla. You know, it doesn't matter what the facts are, because this is about belief and feeling.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we had the other thing we saw this last week. it came out, yeah, we'll fly you to the moon next year with Dogecoin. And it's like, are you kidding me? Everybody was talking about, oh, look, Dogecoin. But to the moon next year, he isn't going to be able to do that. I mean, look at how this guy has overpromised on self-driving and all the rest of the stuff. You know, when we look at that situation, they're going back and forth. Were these two guys, one of them in the passenger seat, the other one in the back seat, when this thing crashed and burned? But Tesla, right? But my question on that was, okay, this happened in a cul-de-sac. And we know that the Tesla autopilot has a real issue in terms of seeing lines on the road. And you don't have any lines on the road in a cul-de-sac. So I can understand how it would crash. I don't understand how fast was this thing going. I haven't seen anybody say anything about that. But also, I don't understand why this would, you know, burn these guys alive, which is what the people that were there said. The battery fire that's there, and that doesn't alarm people about these batteries. I mean, we've seen the Samsung batteries that had issues. We've seen them kind of spontaneously ignite. Everybody freaked out about that. We saw the Hindenburg, right? Nobody would go near a blimp after that. Why isn't anybody concerned about these fires that take 30, 40 hours to put out that leave nothing behind?
Well, it has to do with critical thinking, doesn't it? To be able to notice commonalities between seemingly disparate things.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, a critically thinking person will notice, well, a lithium-ion battery, if provoked in a certain way, can result in a fire. And, you know, wow, you know, it's bad when it happens with a cell phone. That can hurt you. But scale that up. What happens when you've got 1,000 pounds of lithium-ion battery underneath you and you're driving along with this thing? The same thing could happen. But all of this takes the ability to think critically, to take a fact, assess it, and then extrapolate it and think about how it applies to other things. And as a general rule, so many people just seem incapable of exercising critical thinking anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I may get together with you. We're planning on heading up to Gerald Celente's Memorial Day Occupy Peace Rally. He lives, Gerald Celente is a regular guest. He has trendsresearch.com. And he lives in Kingston, New York, where they have on four corners, it's the only intersection that has on all four corners a building that is original, that dates back to before 1776. And he held a rally, a freedom rally last year as all this stuff was happening. And he's holding another one now. We got a rally that is coming out tomorrow worldwide. A lot of people are going to push back against this tyranny, but we're going to head up to that, and we're going to be driving up. So we may stop by. The challenge is going to be doing the show on the road. But we're going to give that a try. It's going to be kind of rough. I'm just giving the audience a heads up here. So when this happens in 2 weeks, it's going to be kind of rough, but we might stop by and see you, Eric.
That would be great. If you need a pit stop, mi casa es su casa. That would be great.
Yeah. So we'll see what's going to happen. We found that we could rent with everything that's happening, and the fact that I've been kicked out of so many motels because they won't let me into an empty lobby without a mask on. I'm not going to wear a mask to please them.
Yeah.
So we looked at this, and the thing that kind of clinched it for us is we were able to find a quasi RV. It's a small scale one. It's they've done some conversions with Mercedes, and we could find it. It's like one of these Sprinter van thing conversions.
Yeah.
We found a rental for it that was only about twice what it would cost us for a car. Well, not even twice what it would cost us, and that takes care of our hotel. And then we got a refrigerator, so we don't have to stop at these restaurants where they throw me out. So then our only question then becomes this fuel issue. Which I don't know if they're going to iron this thing out, because we put these kinks in our supply lines and it takes a long time to get these things out. So that's going to be a bit dodgy on that, but it's diesel fuel. I don't know if there's different situation.
Yeah, if you've
with
got
diesel.
The diesel, I think that thing will go about 600 something miles on a tank.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how big the tank is, but, so we'll have to see how it's going to work out. It's going to be an interesting
35
trip.
35-gallon tank on it.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be a challenge in a number of different ways, finding fuel and finding Wi-Fi so we can do the show. We'll have to see
that's
what
true.
Happens with
that. Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Maybe we'll be able to get together. I hope we can. We'll contact you by
great,
email
David.
And
yeah,
see if we can meet somewhere.
Okay, that sounds fantastic.
All right, great. Thank you. Eric Peters, EP Autos, always on the cutting edge. Folks, you would have known this dystopian future in which no one owns a car. You would have known this about 7 or 8 years ago if you'd been going to Eric's site or listening to my program and listening to two of us talk about this. We've been talking about this for years. I'm glad they're talking about it. You know, it's better that people roll this stuff out. And he pulls it in. He says, hey, you see how this all fits in with long-term agenda? I'm glad he's doing that. We have to have more people doing it. I'm not criticizing him for doing it now. They may have done it earlier as well. I'll be doing more articles on it. I'm sure you will as well. But still, Eric Peters sees where this is heading. We know this is heading into a digital prison. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Thank you for joining us. Eric Peters, epautos.com. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, David.
Thank you. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back. We're going to have I got a couple of things I want to show you before we end the program. So we'll be right back.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via PayPal, or donate via Venmo, Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
All right, and we're back, and we really do appreciate your support. Again, you can find us at thedavidknightshow.com. Just type it in directly. If you type it in and Google is your search engine, it will tell you it doesn't exist, but it does. I assure you it does. Right now, it's a lot of links to where you can find the show as a live show. They're not archived there, so we have links to BitChute, to YouTube, to Rumble, to Odyssey, where you can find the archives of the full shows, as well as interviews and topical cuts that are there. And each day for the full show, I try to put together. I get it done almost every day, but I think I missed last Friday. We have topics by time codes. So, you know, I know that it's a long show, a couple of hours long. So you can skip, you can see the time code there where you can skip to the topic. And then we also have, of course, the podcast, and we do the same thing with that. And then we have a one-hour radio broadcast that we've now replaced the third hour of this show with. And that will be coming up at the top of the hour, KHNC. You can find them at 1360KHNC.com if you want to listen to that. But we also put that up on the podcast. So now we've got two things that go up on the podcast each day. But they archive it at their site, at their website, as well as a live broadcast there if you want to join. And I'm going to be talking today about some topics that I didn't get to, and that is some of the surveillance coming out of not just the Biden administration talking about the greatest threat, they say, to the U.S. are white extremists. And you know what they mean by that? They mean dissidents. And at the same time this is happening, you've got several organizations are saying, you know, we have probably more cameras around the Capitol building than anywhere else. Why have you guys kept all that footage from us? What are you trying to keep us from seeing? I mean, who would think that they would try to do something like that? I mean, they didn't try to do that around the Pentagon on 9/11, did they? So as that is happening, you have Ron Wyden, who was the one who asked James Clapper all the questions about dragnet surveillance of the American public, and he realizes that there's even more Department of Defense spying going on Americans right now. So we'll be talking about that as well. I just want to quickly mention, we have this article from Reason Magazine. Think about the war on drugs. Think about what Biden enacted in terms of laying the foundation for that. He said, this is my idea. He took credit for writing it, and he does deserve the credit for writing it. He is an authoritarian SOB, if there ever was one, and hated the Bill of Rights, hated the Constitution. He gave us the massive prison industrial complex, the idea that we would have mandatory minimums, the idea that we would have civil asset forfeiture where they can take your property without convicting you, without even charging with a crime. All of those types of things, as well as gun control bills, have been put together by Biden. Here's how this looks today. We have in Mississippi an individual who is going to, 38-year-old man, who will spend life in prison over 1.5 ounces of marijuana. How did this happen? It's basically mandatory minimums and a lot of legal prevarications. He was sentenced in 2019 for having 1.5 ounces of marijuana. He had, however, previous felony convictions. What were the felony convictions? Well, the seminal one was that he was convicted of burglary. Now, there was no proof or even an accusation that violence occurred, but according to the statutes at the time, and this was back in 2004, they had on the statute books in Mississippi that burglary was a violent crime. Even if no violence happened, nobody alleges any violence happened, it was listed as a violent felony. He served 8 years in prison for that. Afterwards, he got out, and somebody caught him with a gun, which is not illegal to have a gun in Mississippi. It was just that it was illegal for him as a former felon who had been a burglar to own a gun. And so for those two things, once he got 1.5 grams of marijuana, they will be sending him to life imprisonment. And it has already gone to an appeal court, which has upheld that. And some of the judges who are looking at this are shaking their heads and saying, this is all happening because we have mandatory minimums and we don't have any discretion. This is a nonviolent individual. I don't want to pay. If I was in Mississippi, I would not want to pay to lock this guy up for life, because that's an expensive proposition. Not only does it ruin his life and his family's life, not only does it not give him a chance to change his life, but I have to support him as a dependent. There's no reason to do that. And it is a horrific injustice. And so these are the types of things that have been brought to you by Biden, who is now telling you, it's very simple, you do this or else. That's your choice. Right? That's your choice. Well, we're talking about crime and punishment. We have a West Virginia mayor who was reelected 2 days after an arrest. Sometimes there's different standards for different people. This is a very small town. He was the incumbent mayor of War. That's the name of the town, War, in West Virginia. And when we look at this story, the guy's name was Robert Beavers. Robert Beavers, the incumbent mayor of War. He defeated his challenger, even though he had just been arrested 2 days prior and facing criminal charges for possession of hydrocodone and marijuana and driving under the intoxication. He failed several standardized field sobriety tests. But even if he is convicted, he will continue to serve as mayor because he won re-election 2 days after all of that. He won re-election by, listen to this, a vote of 123-40, because War is a small town. And I have to say, Warden, I'm worried about the beaver. finally, we have Dick Cheney has invited Trump on a reconciliatory hunting trip, says the Babylon Bee. Many thought former Vice President Dick Cheney would be upset about the treatment of his daughter, Liz Cheney, and the fact that she was expelled from leadership for denouncing former President Trump. But Dick Cheney has now invited Trump on a hunting trip where they can patch things up. Cheney told Trump, according to the Babylon Bee, just you and me alone out in the woods with no Secret Service. Hopefully we can see eye to eye, but you can never be quite sure what will happen. Trump eagerly accepted the invitation. He says, I hope there's no hard feelings with us, even though your daughter is an idiot and a loser. I hope she gets hit by a bus. And he said, no, Cheney smiled. No hard feelings. Just be careful out there. Accidents happen. And finally, according to the Babylon Bee, Trump says, great. I've never hunted before, but I'm probably the best at it. And I'm going to kill all the birds in Wyoming, a state I've never even heard of before today. Probably full of idiots. Idiots like your daughter. They have him down, don't they? That's where we are today, because it's all simply about loyalty, the red and blue loyalty. And again, you're being put into a digital prison, and these chains that they put around your arms and legs for the last year are hardening, and we've got to do something about it. Tomorrow, a worldwide rally, and again, I'm going to be going to Occupy Peace. By the way, if you can help Gerald with that, you can find that at Occupy Peace if you want to make a donation. So thank you for listening, and I'll be coming up on KHNC for an hour. Hope you can join us there. The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.